Have you enjoyed the Olympics? I think some of us have enjoyed watching the Olympics. Some of us probably are glad it's over. But I think it's interesting to make some comparisons between the Olympics and the Christian way of life. What goes on in preparing for the Olympics? You know, the Olympics are one of the oldest sporting events on the planet. The Greeks, the Romans, the Aztecs, the Incas, they all had some form of what would be called the Olympics. It's evolved a lot, or maybe you think it's devolved. It's amazing to me some of the events in the Olympics. I never heard of a few of those things. Watching some of those performers, it's amazing to me how they can be trained in that way. Olympic competitors devote their whole lives to winning. When does a gymnast, for example, start? You know, when we travel in Texas, we see advertisements on billboards. Bring your four-year-old to Olympic training. There actually are businesses devoted to training children at a very early age into things like gymnastics and skating. And as I think you know, some of those kids spend 6, 8, 10 hours a day, 7 days a week trying to change their bodies, trying to get themselves able to develop in such a way that they can compete internationally in the Olympics. Parents devote massive amounts of money to doing that. They turn their child over to the control of others. And as we've seen dramatically in the past couple of months, sometimes disastrously. And yet all of that work, all of that money, all of that effort can be destroyed by one mistake. You know, it's interesting that when you look at the Olympic judging system, it's one that is total legalism. Judges look for any small, trivial mistake. I don't know whether you've had this experience. I've watched sometimes a kid do a gymnastic exercise or a skating routine, and I think, boy, that was perfect. How could you do any better than that? And then find out that person got very low scores. The judge just saw stuff that are part of the written criteria that I know nothing about. You know, Jesus calls us to be spiritual Olympiads. The parallel between the Olympics and what Jesus calls us to be as Christians is very, very high. In Matthew 5, beginning with verse 46, if you love those who love you, what reward do you expect? Even the publicans do that. If you greet your friends and family only, how are you any different? Even the publicans do that. You need to be perfect. That sort of sounds like the Olympiad, doesn't it? The actual Greek there means complete. Even as your Father is perfect, end of quote. Perfection in the spiritual Olympics is completeness. We believe here, and I think it makes good sense, that the way to accomplish that is by a guide that is complete, that is perfect. And so we read in 2 Timothy 3, beginning with verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for discipline, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be perfect. And there's that word again. Have completeness. Totally equipped for instruction in righteousness. You know, it's interesting that the Apostle Paul in his writings used the sports analogy that we see in Scripture in the same way that perhaps we use the NFL or the NBA or NHL or something like that today. In Hebrews 12 and verse 1, Paul says, "Let us lay aside every weight and sin that clings closely to us and run with endurance the race that is before us." Run that race with patience. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7, Paul says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. So there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." You know, we might have trouble with that because we don't see a lot of crowns. But in the old Olympics, when somebody won a race, they didn't get a $25 million sports endorsement. They got a wreath to put on their head, and they walked around town, and everybody was in awe of their accomplishments. So Paul uses that in explaining to Christians a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. See, the difference is that our judge doesn't look for the bad, but looks for the good. In Matthew 25, beginning with verse 34, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." All right, here's our Olympics, our spiritual Olympics. And what's the criteria? "For I was hungry, and you gave me meat, thirsty, and you gave me to drink. In prison, you visited me." See, Jesus looks for these things in us. And we know that is right. Like the Olympics, Paul gave us the example of giving all to run the race. In Philippians, the third chapter, in verse 7, Paul says, "I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own, which comes from the law, but that it comes from the faith of Christ." I emphasize that because your Bible may say faith in Christ. That's a mistranslation that's present in the Old King James. The actual word there is faith of Christ. You might think about what faith of Christ would be. We'll get to that in just a minute. "The righteousness that comes from God, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that I may attain the resurrection from the dead." See, the faith of Christ is what Christianity is all about. The faith of Christ is not having doubt, not having a struggle. That's what Jesus offers us. That's what, as Christians, if we partake in the special Olympics and the spiritual Olympics, we can grow to be. And part of that comes in the next verse, verse 8, from a knowledge of Christ. One of the reasons we come here, one of the reasons we have Bible classes, one of the reasons we encourage you to study, is because we need to have the knowledge of Christ. We need to be confident about our participation in spiritual Olympics, making a commitment. Paul goes on in the third chapter of Philippians in verse 12 and says, "Not that I have attained this, for I'm already perfect." See, none of us are at the end of the race, are we? We wouldn't be sitting here this morning. "But I press on, forgetting what lies behind and straining towards what lies ahead." You know, one of the things that they teach you when you run races and track is don't look back. If you're swimming, don't look back to see who's behind you. If you're running a race, don't look who's behind you. Don't look back. Paul says, "I don't look back. I don't worry about the past." I don't know about you, but that's encouraging to me. I don't want to look back. I have a hard time forgetting the mistakes I've made in the past. Jesus says, if you're going to be a spiritual Olympiad, you need to look ahead. Forget the past. Yeah, we've made mistakes. We've done bad things. We failed. He says, forgetting what lies behind and straining towards what lies ahead. I press on to the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You ever notice the TV close-ups of these people when they're doing a race? The strain, the pain they seem to be in. And sometimes you watch that and you think, how do you want to do that to yourself? What are they doing? They're straining to get to the goal. They're looking ahead. I hope you're looking ahead. I hope you're participating in the spiritual Olympics. Making that kind of commitment. Looking forward. We got a lot of things going on. The bulletin talks a little bit about that today, but it's important to recognize we've got something happening every month. Things to be a part of. Things to grow in. We want you to be involved in the race. But you know, the analogy breaks down when it comes to judges. The analogy between the physical Olympics in South Korea or wherever it is, and the spiritual Olympics, which is right here, right now, breaks down. In the first place, in the physical race, there's only one winner. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, Paul says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run as if you may obtain it." See, the difference between the physical Olympics and our spiritual Olympics is there's not just one winner in the spiritual Olympics. We can all be winners. What an encouragement that is. All can win. In 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 25, that's the next verse, another point is made. Paul says, "Every athlete exercises himself in control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we, an imperishable." I have some friends that have worked with the Olympics, coaches, people that have been involved. You know what their biggest problem is with Olympic participants? Is keeping them from letting their energies get diverted from the Olympics to something else. And we've all seen problems with that, haven't we? People involved in commercial activities, people involved in recreational things that were in conflict with their goal of winning the Olympics. We have to think that our race is important. And we have to understand that what we are looking toward is not a perishable wreath. You know, those guys can put that wreath on their head and walk around town for a couple of days. Pretty soon it's going to fall apart. We have imperishable. The commitment to the race is important. Paul says in the next verse, in verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 9, that I do not box as one beating the air. You may not know about this. In South Bend, there was a guy that was a professional boxer that used to run all over the city. He was in the final top three or four in his weight division. And he went by Riley High School every morning. I'd look out my window and I'd see him running down the street, and he's doing this stuff. He's boxing the air. He's refining his moves as a boxer. That's what Paul's talking about. He's saying, you know, I don't box like one beating the air. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. We don't want to be disqualified. We don't want to beat the air. Where does your energy go? You know, when you get to my age, you only have a certain amount of energy, and it keeps getting less all the time, seems like. Where are you going to put that energy? If you're a younger person, where does your strength go? Where does your energy go? Paul says, I want to focus my energy on what God has called me to do, the faith of Christ. And I would urge you to consider what is happening in your life. The other thing that's interesting is that we have a judge who is infallible, and the Olympic judges are not. You know, this Tonya Harding thing has been going on now forever. And every time you get into a discussion of Tonya Harding, one of the first things that comes up is her battle with the judges. And I don't know whether she's right or the judges are right, but the point is, anytime you have somebody judging something, there's a fallible judge. And isn't that true in life? Your boss is fallible. Your mom, your dad are fallible. We're all fallible. But one of the things that's interesting about being a Christian is our judge is not fallible. There won't be any argument with God when it comes to our judge. And all of us can be winners. 2 Timothy 4, beginning with verse 8, all participants are winners. I henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, my righteous judge, will award, and not just to me only, but to all those who have loved his appearance. We can all win. We're not based upon one person being better than anybody else. We all have our own individual race. I want to ask you to think about something, because I think this is true of every person here. We are all in a race. You're all in a race. It may be a rat race, but we're all in a race. And God calls us to run a race in the spiritual Olympics. Let me ask you something. What will the rat race get you? If you win the rat race, what have you got? Well, maybe a new car, maybe a better house. Is that what's really important in life? See, when God calls us to the Olympics, one of the things he calls us to is a spiritual Olympics, which is something that consumes our entire being. All those passages I just read to you are an indication of that. The priorities in your life, like the priorities of the young men and women who are in the Olympics, has to be on winning the race they are in. And I would encourage you to devote your life and your energies to the spiritual Olympics. Run the race. Run the race of Christ. Recognize the superiority of Christ's system and what the final result of running that race is. Every now and then you see an Olympiad from many years ago interviewed on television. Seems like most of them are still living in the past. They're still remembering the race they had, the physical race. I'm at 80 years of age now. I look at my race as the race that I have been involved in to try and serve my fellow human beings. The race that Jesus calls me to of Jesus Christ. So the question for each of us is, what race are we going to run? And will we be a Christian running in the spiritual race that brings us into contact with God as judge? Or will we continue to fight the physical race that we're in? Bill has picked a song called Higher Ground. It's number 234. We're going to sing it here in just a minute. I'm pressing on the upward way. That means running a race that is perhaps better than what the world has. Away from the rat race. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I upward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. See, that's what this lesson is about this morning. Participate in the spiritual Olympics. Don't put all your effort into the physical things. But recognize the importance, not just for you, but for your family, for everybody you have association with, in those things that are of a high priority. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. What's that? That's the physical rat race. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my feet, is higher ground. Look beyond the physical race. Look at the spiritual race. I want to be above the world. Though Satan's darts at me are hurled, for faith has caught the joyful sound, the sound of saints, on higher ground. We've had a lot of things brought to our attention. People that are having mental difficulties, people that are having physical difficulties, spiritual difficulties, those are the lower ground. The higher ground is to be in the faith of Christ, to have your emphasis upon the things that really have meaning. And then the last verse, I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray as till heaven I found, Lord, lead me on to higher ground. I hope that your determination today will that you will be a spiritual runner, that you will want to run the race of Christ and serve Christ, serve your fellow humans, make your life count. And if you're here this morning, and if you want to be a part of that race, either by letting us pray with you to that end, or if you need to become a Christian, that's what come. As together we stand and sing, won't you please come?